That's right. It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's me, Richie T, here. This is episode 62, an opportunity where we sit down with some BYU students, talk about what it's like going to BYU. We try and clear some air about some rumors about BYU and talk all about this big thing with caffeine, trying to get the caffeine on the campus of BYU. So that's coming up in the second and the third block. I want to talk about a few things going on here in the Cultural Hall. Plus, as part of the opening exercises, I've got for you an email that I'm going to share. So let me just say this. If you're not following us on Facebook, please go ahead and do so. Go to facebook.com/thecultural hall, or if you don't know how to do that, you can just search The Cultural Hall there at Facebook. Also, follow us on Twitter, won't you please? It's at The Cultural Hall. We've actually just recently called someone to that's what they do. That's their calling there in the Cultural Hall. They just do our Twitter page, and he's hilarious. So check that out. Also, our Pinterest page, that's pretty rad. Carly, our friend from down in Arizona, she puts that together and pins all the stuff that you want to repin or whatever. I don't know. I know a lot of you like the Pinterest. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, just a few things that are going on. As always, you can review the podcast on iTunes. We'd love it if you'd do that. Go there and write a little review about the Cultural Hall. Positive or negative, we love to hear negative feedback too, so long as it's actually feedback and not just you being like, "Ugh, I hate you guys, I was dumb." So do that at iTunes. You can always email me if it's something you don't want to put out in a public forum. That's richie@thecultural.com, R-I-C-H-I-E. And what else am I missing? Oh, a huge thanks. You've probably been noticing here on the podcast that we've got a new sponsor, and we like them. We like them a lot, and know that you'll like them too. For all your LDS stuff, your books, your scripture totes, your pencils for marking your scriptures, they're the place to go. It's ldsbookstore.com. But really, I want you to go to theculturalhall.com and click on the link there on the top of the page, because that's how they know how many people come from us. So, you know, Christmas is kind of coming. Maybe you need the spiritual gifts for Halloween, or let people know how thankful you are by buying them something from ldsbookstore.com. Check out that link on our website. Go through it and check it out. Get something nice for you, okay? All right, that's good. Now, this email, this one came from Andrea. She says, "I'm a lifer." And again, for people who don't know, lifer means she's listened to every episode of the podcast. She says, "I'm currently listening to the episode as I type, and you're discussing how running is the cure-all." So this is about a week ago or so. She says, "I so agree! 2 exclamation points. When I became single after being married 8 years, I wanted something to do, so I started running. I always thought being a runner looked cool for someone else, but it has changed my life. I'm more confident and I feel so much better about myself than I ever have, and I knew it's partly due to my taking up running. I was not a runner beforehand and still wouldn't consider myself really a runner since I'm still pretty new at it, but anyway, I just wanted to agree with your statement. Thanks." And I guess I said Andrea, but it looks like she goes by Dre, unless this is a doctor. So sorry about that, Andrea. All right, so let's get to it. It's BYU students here in the Cultural Hall. That's coming up in the second and third block of... No, I already said that, the Cultural Hall.
Are you looking for meaningful Christmas gifts for your friends and family? LDSBookstore.com is your one-stop shop for everything LDS. We carry quality products for all ages, including beautiful framed art, inspiring books, fun accessories, inviting home decor, and more. Give a gift this year that is truly one of a kind with our affordable customization options like ring engraving, scripture embossing, and even custom temple art. We make shopping online simple, hassle-free, and easy on your wallet. Your order will be handled with care, and you'll love our friendly customer service. Do all your Christmas shopping this year at LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO to get free shipping. That's LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO for free shipping.
Right, it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall, and this time we're on location again.
I love this place. Have you ever been here before, Rob?
No, I have not.
That, of course, Rob Ferry, your Life of the Party DJ, and it's me, Richie T. We're at Station 22 Cafe in, this is the heart of downtown Provo.
Yes, it is.
Looking right out the window there to the south of me, and that's going to be the new, the Provo Knackle.
I thought you were talking about New Skin.
No, that's directly to the west.
Well, okay. So we're looking at
the Eye of Mordor, isn't it?
Oh, yes, exactly. So we're right by the new temple.
It's kind of creepy. Did you notice this as you came up? The turrets?
The Temple Knackle?
The turrets from the Temple Knackle are on the ground, not actually on the temple right now. They're full scale getting that temple ready to be up. This, of course, being the second Provo temple. And, man, it's gorgeous. It's too bad it had to burn down in order to become a temple, but I'll take it, right?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Today's episode is all about BYU.
BYU.
You're gonna sing are you going to do
go
the song for me?
Go Cougars.
Do you know the whole BYU fight song?
Let's sing it together, guys.
I don't know.
The Cougars are out. Fame and glory.
You know what I love about things like that? It's like your high school song where everyone knows one part. My high school one was everyone knew at the very end. Rolling hills. Yeah. And that was it.
The end of the BYU song. Go, 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 go.
Go, 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 go,
go, go, go. Yeah. And the thing is, when they play the song at the stadium, it's on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, so you don't have to learn the words.
Yeah, you don't need to know the words.
Joining here with us in the Cultural Hall this time is four BYU students. Students of Zubies, let's just call them that.
Oh,
let's get that out there.
BYU co-eds.
And,
think of some jokes.
We're going to take a minute to meet each one of them, and then the reason why we chose to do this episode is I want to get into some of the things about going to BYU that people go, really? Does that really happen?
Yeah.
And BYU's been in the newspaper a little bit recently as well, so I want to get into some of that as well. First,
I'm Caitlin.
And you're in, what grade are you in? That's what I almost said.
I'm a freshman.
All right. And what's your major? We got to hear the major.
What's your major?
Right now, it's marketing, but the Marriott School prerequisites are a little difficult, so I'm thinking about changing to communications advertising. Just the same thing, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier. I was in communications, so is Richie.
Yeah, meanwhile, there's a bunch of marketing students that are like, it's not the same thing.
All right.
I am Nate. This is my second semester at BYU. Just got home from my mission. And I'm still figuring out what I'm studying, but like Caitlin, looking at trying to get into the business school.
Where'd you serve?
I served in Seattle, Washington.
Nice. How many dates have you been on since you got home?
4 to 5, depending on your definition.
So. 4.5.
We went out, but then she went right back in immediately, so...
Yeah.
So there is that.
Yeah, something like that.
Where are you from originally, from me?
Originally, I'm from Cupertino, California.
All right.
And sorry, we didn't ask Caitlin that. Where are you originally from?
Oh, I'm from Sandy, Utah.
Yeah.
It's like 45 minutes away. It's not even cool.
Cupertino, home of the iPhone.
That's
right. Is it really?
Apple headquarters.
It's Cupertino? Why do you know that?
Because you just know.
They put it in the weather app on all the iPhones you get.
Yeah.
It's
really?
Cupertino in the weather.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You want to know. Also, I had a companion from Cupertino. So
I'm obviously not an Apple guy. I've just let my colors show. Sorry about that.
No. Moving on.
My name's Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
I'm a freshman here at BYU. I'm studying communication disorders.
Okay.
And
you're going to see several of them in this podcast.
And I'm from Georgia.
Cool. Georgia, the state or the country?
The state.
Okay, good. See, that's
you don't, right. But you don't have that accent. Are you from Atlanta?
I don't have the accent. My mom has a strong accent.
Okay.
My dad, not so much.
So you take after your dad?
In language, definitely.
In looks, do you look like your mom?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I look just like her.
I got to meet your mom.
But no, are you from Atlanta then?
No, I'm actually from what you call the Dirty South.
Oh.
What does that mean?
That means I am from the deep south of Georgia.
So, like, the fact that you have all your teeth is a rarity for you?
It's a big deal.
Really?
It's a big deal.
We better send her out of here before she gets rid of them all. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then all the way down at the end?
I'm Levi. I'm from Oregon. I'm a geography major, and I'm a senior.
Very cool.
So, do we want to go controversial first? Let's do one of the controversial first. Recently on the campus, it's been a big deal with the general authorities of the church saying, hey, caffeine is cool.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I mean,
we've
debated here in the Cultural Hall as to whether or not they ever said that it was or said that it wasn't, but now they've made it no bones about it and said, listen, when you're talking about caffeine, and you're talking about the word of the wisdom.
Yeah.
It's not talking about your Pepsi or your Coke or your Mountain Dew and that stuff. So what are you guys still seeing here on campus?
And here's the other thing about it is BYU Catering said there was no demand for it on campus.
So stupid.
So oh my gosh.
So that's a complete lie, probably.
Oh yeah.
They probably never even.
Really passionate about this.
I am too.
All right, let's hear it.
Levi, go ahead.
So our way back towards me.
The thing that got me riled up was when dining services said there wasn't a demand for caffeine on campus. I think she was just trying to fill space in an interview. I really don't understand. Or she may be completely disconnected from BYU students.
Or it came down from the presidency. It's like, this is what you're going to say. This
Props
is, this is the spin.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a spin.
Cecil's pretty progressive. But so, and then...
Cecil, of course, being the
president of BYU.
For people who don't know.
Me and Cecil.
Brother Cease, I like to call him.
Cecil. So this kid, that's why he started... BYU Students for Caffeine, which is a Facebook page, which has since been shut down.
Skylar.
Yeah.
Which was completely ridiculous. And then just little things have happened on campus. Like, there were three or four students who were giving out free caffeine, and the cops came and told them that they couldn't do that, and it was called a demonstration.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to demonstrate then on campus?
No, you're not.
At all?
No.
So can you just silently stand there with a six-pack and be like...
I don't know. It kind of depends on if the cops like it or not, I guess. I don't know.
They said that any organization of students that's not approved by BYU SA, which is like an
the
event...
Student Association, yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Then it's like super against the rules. I don't know. It's weird.
So you said you feel pretty passionate about it too, Lindsay.
Well, I'm from Georgia,
uh-huh.
And that's where
that's
Coca-Cola,
caffeine country right
Coca-Cola
there.
Started in Georgia. Okay,
exactly. Yeah. I've been there.
So you know, in Georgia, you drink a Coke a day, or a Coke Zero, or a Diet Coke every day.
Even if you don't like it, you have to.
Yeah,
right? You're from Georgia.
Yeah, you have
before
to
you go to bed. Your mom's like, "Have you drinking your Coke today?"
Exactly.
And here's your apple.
But yeah, as soon as I moved out here, when I was moving into my apartment, I stocked up. Under my bed, I have Diet Coke like you wouldn't
imagine.
Do you
have a year supply?
Practically.
Because you're supposed to be prepared.
So the server here who works here,
uh-huh.
I just got a tip. The BYU Moa gift shop.
That's right.
Sells caffeinated Coke.
Yeah.
The BYU what?
Moa gift shop. I don't know
they
what that
do.
Is.
It's for the Andy Warhol exhibit.
Yeah.
I went and bought a bunch of it to support them.
Oh, really?
Because it's the only time I'll ever be able to buy a caffeinated beverage at BYU.
Yeah, he even made like a Facebook video about
it. I did.
It. It was
I recorded myself drinking a full-bodied Coke purchased from BYU, and I got about 100 hits. Yeah, I'll send it to you. Yeah.
I'll make sure that gets out there.
I also had an insider who was in BYU Catering. He said the only place where they actually have caffeine, I guess besides this place, was in the luxury suites up at BYU at Cougar Stadium.
At the Cougar Stadium,
Lavelle
Stadium.
So basically, you know, you get your VIPs. They want some caffeinated beverage.
You have to
beverage.
Be important to drink caffeine.
So actually, as an employee of BYU Catering, I can definitely affirmate that or whatever the word is.
Yes, he can confirm.
But the funny thing is, for the actual catering events, I don't know how they can say there's no demand because we don't serve any soda.
Yeah.
So I don't see how they can say that.
Yeah.
I feel like the caffeine is going to be like mustaches at BYU. Mustaches were cool 30 years ago.
Yes.
And they still are approved. So I think 30 years from now, after it's a big deal, caffeine will probably be okay.
Yeah. Do you not think that it's going to change?
No.
No, you don't think they'll change it?
They'll stick to their guns.
No, because they've never like slacked off on anything on the honor code. The only thing they've done is gotten more strict. So this wouldn't.
Okay, so let's get into it. I disagree with that.
Yeah, there are some things that they've changed.
Blue jeans.
That's true. I'm only a freshman. I don't know.
Blue jeans?
Yeah.
Skinny jeans?
No, skinny jeans is something that
that's BYU Idaho
last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last year for sure.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, a lot of people have said that BYU is finally starting to recognize kind of what their students are. Then you have setbacks like this. But you know, I think it was in the news this last spring talking about the BYU LBGT.
It gets better campaign.
Yeah.
Or I'm a part of USGA, which is
I think that's what I was
understanding
thinking of.
Same gender attraction, which is like
LGBT.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
acronyms. It's like the BYU version of that.
Yeah. Right, and that's something that if you looked even 5 years ago, you would have never seen BYU.
And there's still a little bit of a stigma against it.
Oh, not a little bit. There's a lot.
does it get frustrating to you? I guess especially with, you know, out of town students, yeah, where you kind of come into Utah and it almost does seem like that bubble that people talk about. Have you guys experienced that?
Bubble syndrome is here.
Well, yeah, like with the caffeine thing, there was a woman who posted on the Facebook site that if caffeine is not served in the temple, then obviously Heavenly Father doesn't want you to drink it. Uh-huh. And
what about donuts?
Yeah, donuts, or you can't do a lot of things in the temple, and I've never seen the temple serve Chinese food.
Right.
But I know those things Heavenly Father isn't against, so it wasn't so much for me, like, the caffeine thing. It was, here's the church taking a stand and clarifying doctrine.
Yes.
And people still holding on to their folk doctrines that are false, and
that
creates, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a great way to put it, folk doctrine, because we created this culturally, and it's a folk doctrine.
Well,
thank you.
I wonder if the question is, like, purely economical. Yeah, like, are they making more money on non-caffeinated beverages? Mm. Is there higher demand for that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a moral stand. Maybe it's just economical.
See, the thing that was frustrating for me was not necessarily, though I feel bad for all of you guys that aren't able to have caffeine in your beverages, it wasn't so much that they said, hey, we're not going to serve it. It's that they said that there's no demand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's a bunch of college kids.
Because it's one thing if it's like, you know what, we didn't do it before. We've chosen we're not going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Who are they asking?
Right. But it's when they say, hey, there's no demand.
Right.
That you just go, yeah, just say because I said so. All right. So
yeah,
then
exactly.
I can accept it a little bit easier. So
I want to know more about this club that you're a part of.
USGA, please.
Yes.
Okay, so understanding same gender attraction is just a way. We meet on Thursday nights, and it's just a way to meet other students at BYU who are openly lesbian or openly gay.
Okay, and do you fall into either of those categories?
And I am straight.
Okay.
And so, but it's a way for me to understand how they are feeling.
That's great.
And it's an awesome way to kind of, for them to open up about kind of the stresses of being homosexual on a campus that is very heterosexual
and conservative.
Very conservative.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a good way to kind of fellowship those people, but also to, just like the name says, to understand it.
Were you active in those kind of things back in Georgia? Was that something that you got into?
In my high school, I definitely was.
So, how come?
Because to me, it's important that, I don't know, to me, people look at homosexual people and it's easy to judge them because they don't agree with what they're doing, possibly. But for me, it's really important for me to, like, understand that people are children of God, even though...
What, you mean love everyone? Is that what you're saying?
Jeez, what a concept.
Yeah, like, and so to me, I want those people to know that there's someone that likes them.
Can I add to that
please?
Well?
Yeah. You may not.
My junior year of high school, one of my friends that I grew up with, and I knew he was a member of the church and his family really well, he was so terrified. And, like, we all kind of knew, like, oh, this kid, like, he's probably gay just because of
his
tendencies.
It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was just a matter of time. And he was just terrified to come out to, you know, his best friend saying that, you know, I'm gay, like, and I didn't text him back for a while because I was sending, like, a 12-page text, so he was, like, so worried, like, Caitlin, please don't, like,
He starts that rapid text of panic where it's like, what, is that not okay? Are you not okay? Is everything all right?
And I just expressed, like, the utmost love for him. It was almost like this intense spiritual experience where it was like, just give this person all the love that you can give them because that's all that they want, that's all that they need. And I know that that's what Heavenly Father would want, too.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of stigma with you going to the club? Like, people going, what are you doing supporting?
People say, oh, let's go do this. And I say, oh, actually, I'm going to run over to the USGA meeting. And they say, oh, I've never heard of that. And I say, oh, it's understanding...
Same gender attraction.
And they say, oh, like gay people. And I say, yeah, like gay people and straight people talking to each other. And they're like... oh, well, you enjoy that. And it's a very uncomfortable experience sometimes for them to know that I'm supportive of loving other people in that way.
They don't think it's the University of South Georgia.
Association?
Yeah, it's my University of South Georgia Association.
We have an on-campus meeting.
I'm going back to my roots.
But so, people, it makes people nervous when I tell them that I attend those meetings.
Are they pretty well attended?
Yeah, they are.
Would you say a couple hundred, or are we in the thousands?
No.
I would say like 30 yeah. to 40, right?
Right.
There you go.
And but the majority of...
It's a close-knit group.
Yeah.
It is.
But Levi says it's kind of volatile. You said you made a comment. You're like, yes, it's an issue on campus.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, even just walking to class, I've heard people shout things like derogatory terms, fag or gay or whatever.
Really?
But how do people know? Because it's not like it's usually,
it's,
that you go...
It's usually people that gay. Maybe dress more hipsterish or more... Right. Just
even
a little
if you're
different.
Not gay.
Yeah. It's just... I mean, I think you would probably get that anywhere, but I think you would get that more so here at BYU.
Why do you think that is? Because, I mean, with a religious school, you would hope that it would be
right.
more kind of what you're talking about. Why do you think it is kind of that extreme?
I think, just this is my personal opinion. Yep.
Gospel according to Caitlin. Here we go.
Here we go.
I think it's just basically what I've noticed in my classes that I've gone to is it's a lot... of people trying to outdo each other. And so it's people like trying to one-up the other person, people asking questions just to make themselves sound smarter instead of understanding the actual concept. Like, it's really frustrating. Jeez. And all these people come to class, it's like a fashion show. I feel like I'm back in high school. I'm like, all right, what is this?
Yeah. Like, BYU is a competition.
So, BYU, is, it feels like a competition. So I don't know if it makes them feel more superior.
They're more spiritual than you are. That's
exactly.
what it is.
Everyone's better at everything.
Yeah.
They're more humble too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just ask them. I'm the most humble. Humblest? Most humble.
Let's try that.
We'll try most humble.
Yeah.
I want to take a break for a minute, and when we get back, I want to talk about floating. If you've never heard of floating.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
I just want to...
Wait, like the...
Yeah, exactly. I just want to get into it very briefly.
Okay.
If it's real.
I think that it's ridiculous. And so I'm sure they'll talk about a bunch
know.
Of other stigmas and
freshman.
That stuff.
This
we'll talk freshman. About that coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. 576 to book your shoot today.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give him a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
All right, time for the third block here of the Cultural Hall, still at Station 22. And it was funny, Lindsay made the comment, they drink out of the mason jars here.
Oh, really?
But back home in Georgia, they have to drink out of mason jars.
That's what you do. Like, yeah. It's not funny or cute or a joke. You actually do that.
They're like, does anyone sell glasses? Well, you got a mason jar.
So is there a secret handshake with a mason jar?
Stupid.
No, I've always, you know. I mean, where does it come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Is there certain ways to drink it and
yes,
not drink it?
Exactly.
Joseph
anyway.
Smith drank from a mason jar.
Probably. We're getting into some deep doctrine here. Doctrine.
All right. And now we're going to get into some deep folk doctrine. So it's long been said,
okay,
and this maybe it might be embarrassing to you, but I don't care. We're all adults. You're in college for crying out loud. It's long been said that there's a practice here in Provo called floating.
And docking.
And docking. We're just going to go with floating.
So, like boats?
Floating and docking.
I just want to know before I get into this, if you guys have ever heard about it. Caitlin, have you ever heard about it?
Never heard about it.
Have you?
Like I said, I think of parades when I think of floating.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
And Levi, you know
he's
what
he's the
it
senior.
Is. He's the senior.
So he's been around.
Okay.
All right.
So this will be an interesting discussion. The idea with floating is that it is legal under the law of chastity for people to be in for lack of a better word. Like, you can be naked or various states of intercourse, and it just is able to be in, but so long as you don't move it, well, it's in.
It's not sex.
But it, that it's not, that it's not sex.
I've heard of that. I didn't know there's a name of it.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's the way to justify it.
And that's the same thing as docking.
Yes, what, floating and docking.
Floating and docking. Yeah. He's like, is docking, that what docking
makes
is?
More sense.
Yeah, yeah, docking.
Exactly. I will dock, and I will float.
Okay, so
how interesting.
So you've heard about it. What did you? What did you? What have you heard about it before? Obviously,
exactly
giving it a
what you just said. Somebody was just like, yeah. Somebody said this, like exactly what you just said. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Like, nope. That doesn't. That counts.
That
like,
counts.
What?
Yeah. Okay. It is dumb. So do me a favor. From the cultural hall and now moving forward, if someone says, no, it's okay, and this is what you can do, and it's not having sex, it's having sex. Yeah.
That's
okay?
Like a boy just trying to be like, oh, it's cool.
No, but
it's cool.
From what I understand, and Rob can correct me if I'm wrong, it's the majority of them is women going, no, it's okay.
Because girls don't have to serve missions.
I don't know how you could accurately
I don't know what the deal is.
I heard it more from like my cousins who grew up in Utah.
Okay.
But I've never heard it talked about by BYU students.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Utah County thing.
But no one here is from Utah County. Darn it. All right, we're going to do another one with a group of Utah County people. And find out. All right, so what made you guys each want to come to BYU? Because for the three of you, you guys all came from out of state. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
Kind of.
I know what made me want to come to BYU. It's the new... Have you guys seen this new commercial?
Oh, it's the really
creeper
good.
Commercial. The, like with it. The girl singing.
Oh, really?
With the girl
yeah.
singing on campus.
Oh, I think that's it's so awesome. I saw it after
so
I came, though.
I probably should have asked her to be on the cultural hall, but I saw her at a movie the other night.
Wait,
anyway,
what's the commercial?
So since BYU is on ESPN all the time now, they have a national spot that will play at the commercial breaks.
Sure, like during the BYU football game, during the basketball
and usually,
game.
You know, they show a spot and they're like, come to BYU where we have great science, dancing.
Flash different scenes from the campus.
Ooh, sports!
So this one takes a different spin. This girl is singing a song. It's like a music
it's
video.
It's awesome.
Okay.
And so she's like at different parts of the campus. Like she's like a chemistry thing singing. She's
singing to a beaker?
Or in the top of Y Mountain.
Yeah, she's on Y Mountain.
That's why I
can't take it.
She's not a part of Divine Comedy. Yeah. She's actually a film student.
Oh. Okay.
She used to be a part of Divine Comedy.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she's running on the track singing the song.
Okay.
They're in a water fight singing the song.
Like doing
this.
Real BYU
like
kids stuff.
Slow motion.
She's not all the time in school.
Ice blocking?
Or
ice blocking?
And no docking.
Yeah.
No docking.
That is folk doctrine.
Okay. But anyway, it's a really unique ad campaign for this new, and I met her the other night at the movie theater. And so I asked
what
her about it.
What movie did you see?
Sleepwalk With Me.
Okay.
Do you like Mike Birbiglia?
Oh, I love Mike Birbiglia.
We'll
this
have this conversation later.
Oh,
yeah, it's going to get really nerdy. Anyway, she was there, and it was really cool.
Oh,
and I was talking to her. I'm like, you're the BYU girl. And she's like, the BYU girl? The one in the commercial. She's like, oh, yeah, that's me. And she was really cool about it. Yeah, and she's this film student, and it's all part of this new ad campaign.
Rob, shame on you.
What?
She should be here sitting with
us know,
right now.
I know. I just didn't think
about
it.
Are you stalking her on Facebook yet?
I have not stalked her on
you
Facebook.
Okay, so back to these
anyway,
guys.
Anyway, so why did you choose BYU?
Yeah, why did you choose BYU?
I had like 6 months left on my mission, and my
where'd you serve?
Detroit.
There it is.
And
there you
that's
go.
Right. And then
how was knocking on doors where no one lived?
It was great. You didn't
it's we, all yeah. those. Sorry, Michigan joke.
That's
Detroit.
Right. Anyway, we had like six. My companion and I had 6 months left, and we kind of as a joke applied to BYU. We didn't think we'd get in.
Because you weren't very good missionaries?
Well, I didn't have very good grades in high school. Or I guess it was a little below the average.
Well, like what? What are we talking?
I had, I think, 3.46.
Okay. So
and then my
decent.
ACT
Jeez.
Was only 25. And
for a BYU student.
BYU, it's really...
Remember, everyone's better than you.
Yeah, right. They raised the bar.
That's why we went to SUU. Yeah. Richie T and I.
I went there by choice, pal. All
right.
I could have gone wherever.
Yeah.
Anyway, it came down to BYU is cheap.
Okay.
So that's why I came here.
Yeah, yeah. You get a, because you're from out of state, you get a nice.
Same. Yeah.
Well, you supposedly pay tithing if you're an active member of the church.
Yeah.
And so that's why you don't have to pay as much.
There you go.
Well, and you pay 11% if you're a BYU student.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
It's just a little bit more than everybody else.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
So, I actually didn't plan on coming to BYU.
No one ever does.
I know. Isn't that crazy? But my parents asked me all the time.
Did they go to BYU?
No. My mom came for a year, went back to Georgia for the summer, met my dad. Uh-huh. So, but I just kept telling them no. And they...
Why? What was the plan?
I wanted to go to the University of Georgia. Ah. It was close to home, but Bulldogs. Not too close.
Yeah. Apparently there's Bulldogs there.
I'm not a Bulldogs fan, but I'll take it. And so they just asked me every once in a while, you know, why don't you want to go? And I just said, it's not right.
Mormons.
And my answer all the time was, it's not right. And one night they sat me down and they said, why is it not right? And I didn't have an answer.
I was like, it's just not.
Uh-huh. And that night was the deadline. And I'm so lucky my dad's the bishop and that a member of the state presidency lives down the street.
Uh-huh.
And I filled it out by midnight.
And got it done.
On the skin of her teeth.
Yeah.
Are you glad you did?
It was an awesome decision. Yeah. I have to figure out why I'm here still, but I'm enjoying it.
Michael. It's for this podcast, I want you to know. You'll be able to go home and meet
your husband. Does that mean I can go home next week?
Exactly.
Nate? Well, for me, like every one of my aunts and uncles, mom, my dad, everybody has always gone to BYU. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in California thinking, of course, I'm going to go to BYU. Everybody goes there. Doesn't every good Mormon boy go there? Yeah, study that, invent that. Doesn't every good Mormon boy go there, right? And so we moved to Utah, and all of a sudden I had a couple more options. You know, I had friends who were going to Utah State, the U of U, these different places. Well, I did my application at BYU, and I thought, you know, that's good. I'll go there. And then I started questioning myself and thinking, what if I don't get in? So kind of like Lindsay, the night before the U of U closed their applications, I applied there. Got into their piano program, got a four-year scholarship for the U, and turned it all down to come to BYU.
And do and what?
I don't know yet. I really love it here. You know.
What is it you love?
I love the atmosphere.
Like the people? Is that what you mean? Or like
I love being around members of the church. Same. But I'm also enjoying like... On campus was great. That's probably the true bubble. On campus housing at BYU. It doesn't get any more than that. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm living off campus, we've got people from overseas who are here kind of investigating the church. I live with people who go to UVU. And I just love the atmosphere here in Utah County. And I don't think I would have got it living at home going to the U. Because I wouldn't pay for a place to live if I was living in Salt Lake going to the U.
Right.
I actually decided to go to BYU. I'm a diehard Ute fan, so this is really like hard for me. But my senior year of high school, I was part of this business management program, and I really loved it. I absolutely loved it. So I said, I want to go into business. So I was just for fun, like researching like top business schools, you know, just like dreaming, like, oh, what if I went to like Pennsylvania or some like crazy out of state? And I saw BYU was top 11 or 12 or something on the list.
You don't say that very often on my billboard, by the way. Top 12.
But like out of all the business schools like in the nation, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And like the University of Utah was like 149. So yeah. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize like BYU had such a good business program. So I just decided it just felt right. It just like clicked with me like, yes, this is where I'm going to go. And so that was the only place I applied. I just applied to BYU. And then it was really scary because everybody started posting on Facebook like, woohoo, got into BYU, like, because they tell everybody like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard anything, I didn't get a letter, and I'm like, I didn't apply anywhere else. What if I didn't get in? Because like my ACT score wasn't that awesome, and I was like barely average.
How
GPA.
Not awesome was it? Modest?
24, 25.
Oh yeah, you're right, it wasn't that awesome.
Bold move, not to apply anywhere else.
Exactly. So I don't know, I just had, I don't know. But then the next day I heard back and I got in and I was really happy, and now it's kind of crazy because I'm probably not even going to do the business school and I'm probably going to do the communications program, but whatever. It's like the way to make God laugh is to make plans, so they never go through.
Rob likes that.
Yeah.
Making plans, don't you?
Yeah. What do you
this
mean?
Is my plan. I don't know. It seems between me and you, we've always talked about plans, and it's like, and then this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And now as I look back at it, it's like, none of that happened.
No.
Not a single bit of that happened.
No. But this happened, the podcast.
Yep, the podcast happened. I didn't plan it.
Oh, you didn't plan it?
No, it just happened.
I didn't plan to get married. Wait.
Wait, you're not married?
No, I'm not.
You can't not plan to plan to not plan, Rob.
Right, exactly.
That's messing with it.
Speaking of marriage.
What? I want to go there.
You want it?
Yeah. Let's do it. Stigma of being married and the MRS degree. Let's start with the ladies on this one first. Coming to BYU to get married.
I can't even tell you how many times I've heard that joke. Like, oh, where are you going to school? Oh, BYU. Oh, don't get married in the first semester. Like, oh, haven't heard that one before. Like, it really is just, it's ridiculous. I don't think. Like, I haven't even gone on a date at BYU yet.
Doesn't surprise me. What about you, Lindsay? I'm kidding.
So, we've had three engagements in my student ward
since I've been here. How long has school been?
In August 27th.
In a month.
Yeah, so about a month. And some of the kids know each other from summer semester, okay. So it's okay.
And from the pre-existing.
So it's been like five months, which is a lot better than one.
Richie, you missed what I said. And some of them know each other from the pre-existence.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
You'd be shocked how much you actually hear that awful, awful pickup line.
But legitimately, people use that pickup line?
But for real.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Those are the same people that sing in the tunnels, right?
Yes. Those Mormons.
Do they use it as like a joke pickup line or just to get your attention?
I don't know. They're weird.
Have you gone on a date since you got down here?
I went on one, but it was a friend from home. So
it's just a guy being like, I just want to talk about Georgia with someone.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know what I'm doing. We should go watch a movie.
Yeah.
And that happened.
That happened.
Did you guys shoulder cuddle during
the
movie?
We did not touch.
Shoulder cuddle.
Yeah. Come here, I'll shoulder cuddle you. Like second base.
No, the bases are a little different.
Exactly. Hand holding is the home run. But for you, being from Georgia, right? I mean, it's different for Caitlin because she's not from out of state. I mean, there's not a plethora, I would imagine, of Mormons in Georgia.
That's weird to me to have, like, options.
Right.
Like, that's strange.
I imagine when you're 12 years old, you're looking around in your Sunday school class going,
I grew up with that kid.
If I don't get out of here, I'm marrying you or you
exactly.
If I want to remain within the faith.
Yeah, and that's weird. So to come out here, that's one of my favorite things about going to BYU is to be, like, surrounded by the priesthood. Like, if I need something from a priesthood holder, there's a boy the building over for me. There's a friend the building next to me. That's awesome to me because I only had one priest in my ward at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, my dad was the bishop, so that's different. But it's so cool to me to have so many awesome guys that hold the priesthood around me. That's cool.
All right, what about you guys? Is it weird? Because you guys are the decision makers as far as, you know.
Sadly, you're the decision makers.
Going out on dates or the getting married.
This is where they say, do you want to hold the priesthood?
Yeah.
Levi, you go ahead.
To hold the priesthood.
First? Go ahead.
All right, well, I just turned 25, like, last week.
That's old for BYU.
For BYU, that's freaking old. And then it's my senior year. You know, my family actually pushed for me not to get married before I finished college.
Good for you.
Yeah, which is way nice.
If that's what you choose, there's plenty of people who are perfectly happy who get married in college, Rob.
Well, I'm just saying.
What's
you know,
your agenda?
My agenda is do what's right.
Yeah. Choose the right. That's fine.
What I found here is if you had kind of a riotous background before maybe you came to BYU or maybe during high school.
By riotous, you mean like drinking, partying?
Drinking, partying, sex.
Drinking Mountain Dew.
You know, whatever, whatever you want. Yeah.
Holding hands.
Eventually, those questions come up and when you're in a relationship. And what I've found is I'm really good at picking girls who don't like that maybe I had a rocky past, even though I'm a good guy now. Mm-hmm. And so about a year ago, I just was like, I'm done. I'm just going to wait until I get back to Oregon and find, no offense, normal girls who understand
that won't judge
real
you
life.
For your past.
So
Mormons are different.
I'm not saying every girl's like that at BYU, but
blanket statement. How are they different?
Sorry, that is a blanket statement.
That's fine.
Overgeneralization. Like just like that. Like growing up in Georgia, growing up in the church, my ward had like 140 people, and you had to fight to be a Mormon. You did.
Yeah.
Every day you were challenged on being a Mormon.
How?
Something. You were either talked bad about, like to your face, someone
did
just would slam you.
Did people touch your head to find horns?
People would
no, really?
Touch you to see if you had horns. And just weird things like that. But also, people would ask you about your church just so they could trap you. And so to be a member of the church is different in other places. Where here, a lot of kids don't know what a missionary experience is because they don't really have to proclaim their beliefs like you do if you live out of Utah. And Caitlin, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Like, I'm ashamed to say it, but I don't think I've ever really had, like, a missionary experience.
Not like they talk about on a Mormon message.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, to me...
It's like, Caitlin's like, different. One time I had a neighbor who wasn't Mormon.
who didn't go to church for three Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's different.
So what about for you? I mean, you're just home from the mission, and I remember for me personally, this was my situation when I came home from the mission. You know, they say, get on with the next part of your life. And the next part of your life is getting married and doing that whole thing. And I remember going out on dates for the first 6 months of being home and going out with people. Like, I full-on took it on. I was like, done with the mission. Let's find this. Yeah, let's find this lady. Come on. And I was out on a date like 36 hours after I got on the plane. I got off of the plane. Because I was like, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be that guy. Here we go. I'm on.
I did that too.
And
I actually went on a date right before I left the mission.
Me and Rob actually went on a date together, which was weird. That didn't work for us.
No. Is that a, what do you call that, a man date?
Yeah.
Okay. A bro date.
So I went out and I would be just frustrated every time I'd go out and it wouldn't work out. It was like, I served the mission though that I was supposed to. I taught the way that I was supposed to. Where is this coming from? So now how long have you been home?
I've been home 2 months now.
Okay. So how is it? How is that pressure?
So, kind of to throw a curveball in there too, I came home early.
How come?
Bipolar disorder.
Okay. Medicated now?
Yeah, medicated, doing well. It's a trip. Like, when you're manic on the bipolar disorder,
yeah,
they compare it to being on speed, being on crack. You can get things done.
Was that something that was discovered on the mission?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had no idea about it until about a week before I came home.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Pretty much got hit by a truck. Not literally, but that's what it's like.
Uh-huh.
And has that come up in conversation on dates?
You know, it's funny because people say, oh, how old are you? Or like, oh, you just got home? Cool, how old are you? You're 20. And you just see them, their eyebrows furrow.
Yeah.
Best 12 exactly. months of my life.
Yes. You can see like the judgment wheels.
Exactly.
Like,
the judgment wheels. I like that.
Yeah. Yep.
They'll ask like, oh, is your dad a mission president? Because you can go at 18.
Yeah. Like the assumption is obviously not that you could have come home early
Which
for some reason.
I take
like,
that complimentary, right?
How did you do this? He's got to yeah. He's 20, exactly. So he would have had to.
No, I don't think anybody else has said that. It's just kind of a funny thing somebody might say. But, you know, I just say, you know, I'm home early with bipolar disorder. And people actually... It's been amazing. I've been so not judgmental about it.
That's good. Cool.
That's really
like
nice.
My home ward, they warn you before you go home. They say, now watch out. People are going to be rude. All they said is, we're just happy to have you home.
Right.
So, you know, I've spent a lot of my time just getting myself healthy. I was in the psych ward up at the U for 5 days right after I got home. And that was a crazy experience. Nobody I wanted to date in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Maybe one of the nurses or the receptionist, but not the patients. But I
those
lie,
real leather straps? No, I have too.
Do you have any sharp objects? Because I don't. But really, now that I'm at BYU, like, I really am excited to get married. I've seen both my brothers just got married to great girls, and they did it the right way in the right time. One of those girls is Caitlin's cousin.
Yeah,
so
that's cool. How I know each other.
Okay.
I actually recognized him from the cardboard cutout at the wedding, so that's like,
yes.
That's
great. That is a Utah tradition. If you get married here in Utah, there's often a cardboard cutout of a missionary standing there
so
with the receiving line.
Oh, totally. We had two of them, from each side.
It's a Utah thing.
If you go to cardboardpeople.com and tell them that you heard about it on the cultural hall, they'll actually give you a discount.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Really?
So yeah. Cardboardpeople.
As of now.
No, it's Tom. He's a good friend of mine. Just tell him that Richie from the Cultural Hall said, and they'd give you probably free shipping or something like that.
Cool.
Nice plug.
It's a thing.
Yeah, so
like that. I worked that right in like a Coke cup on American Idol.
I'm going to actually...
Floated that right in.
Yeah. I'll get one of those for my wedding. I'll just have a cardboard cutout
of
a wife.
You?
No, of a wife.
Oh.
I'd love it if it was just a cardboard cutout of you and your wife and you went on your honeymoon early.
That'd be good.
So, all right, so dating, good. We got it. And you, all right. Hopeless.
I've made a rule that, like, when the boys my age come home from missions, that's when I can consider being married.
That's good.
Yeah. So that makes sense, doesn't it?
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Give yourself a couple of years. That's enjoy reasonable. College.
I want to meet everybody, too. Like, yeah. The boys I'm meeting now are going to go on missions.
Sure.
And while they're on missions, I can meet other people. And then they'll come home, and it'll... To me, that just makes sense.
So how old do you think, then?
How old
for you?
Do you think I'll be?
Yeah.
21? 22?
I don't know, because I kind of want to serve a mission myself.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So... It's always been... I'm a real people person. I love to interact with people.
I don't get that at all from you. I just want to point that out.
And so to me, it's really important that I let other people know that their Heavenly Father loves them.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what
she
I want
She wants to spread the good word.
I want to spread the love.
Yeah, there you go.
But like missionary work, like the way it's intended to be? Not for a status of... that's a whole different conversation for a different time. And then you, what about you? Mission?
I actually have thought about it. My mom can totally see me going on a mission. It's just kind of, I feel like I've had missionary experiences before, but I absolutely hate making people feel obligated, and I feel like that is what, like, you really have to put yourself out there.
True.
And I went on a church history tour this summer for 3 weeks, and every day when we take a rest stop every 2 hours, and people would come back on the bus with these cool missionary stories, because you see 60, you know, seniors from high school get off a bus and they're like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, oh, we're going on a church history tour. And then, like, you get into this whole conversation. So everybody was having these missionary experiences, and I'm pretty sure everybody on the bus had one except for me. And I don't know if that's because I hate making people feel obligated. I don't know. It's a couple years away, so I'll figure it out. Pray fast about it. So,
it's an interesting thing. Go for it.
Do you guys believe only ugly girls go on missions? Only the girls who can't get married?
That is definitely not true.
Okay, good.
No, it's not. No.
Really
no,
good,
no.
Good answer. Because
there's visitor center missionaries.
Oh, my gosh.
Salt Lake.
Yeah. The Salt Lake women, Kirtland women, Nauvoo women. They got to put the cute girls somewhere.
Oh, wow.
No, okay, I had to ask.
I am kidding. But it does seem, on the other side of that, it does seem like if you go to visitor centers that there's not really any unattractive sister missionaries serving at the visitor center.
No and offense to all those listening.
Yeah, no offense intended.
But the thing about sister missionaries, when they go for the right reasons, not because they had nothing else going on in their life.
Right, that's what I think's important. Yeah. Oh, I can't get married, I'm just going to serve a mission.
Right.
And then... You go on your mission and it's hard and you feel awful.
At BYU, it's like if you're a young woman and you turn 21 and you're not married, the tradition and the obligation that everyone kind of pushes is, well, oh, you need to go on a mission then, put your education on hold, you know, go on a mission. And it's a lot of my friends have been, well, I don't want to go on a mission. I want to finish school so I can go get my PhD.
So there's really a stigma about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like that'd be really challenging because you leave a year before you finish your degree.
Oh, yeah.
And you come back and try and pick up in your program again.
That's very... I've definitely considered that.
What's the... let's talk about this. What's the future of the church? There's been a lot of talk recently about... I mean, with the internet and people being able to find out a lot more about our history, certainly with Mitt Romney, potentially, or I should say President Romney, because he was a stake president, so we can call him that. thank you for laughing at that joke, even if it was half-heartedly. I know, I've done it a bunch on the podcast, that's why. And it's not very funny. Let's move on. But the church, it seems like it's changing a little bit. Would you say?
It is.
And if so, and if you wouldn't, then why not? And if so, why? And let's start
Can
here.
I ask a question first? Yeah. How would you say it's changing first?
Okay, I'll talk it first. Actually, I'll talk it last. Okay. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I don't know. Like, I feel... I don't know. Just when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was the I'm a Mormon campaign. Mm-hmm. And last year, we had the speaker at a high school Morningside, the lady who started that, and she told her whole story, and it was really super interesting. It was like the most interesting. You should really get her on the podcast. It's
what's
like,
her name?
I have no idea.
Woman.
But I will figure it out and let you know. But
if you happen to be that woman and you happen to be listening, get in touch with us, Richie@theculturalhall.com.
But just hearing her talk about how making Mormons seem like real people instead of just this crazy mystery, like, Mormon stigma type thing that we've been talking about. I think that that's really helping a lot and making people feel less hesitant. Because, like, I think you talked about it on articles of news a long time ago how people want, or in 2008 they were really hesitant about having a Mormon as a president, but now in 2012, like, it's, the numbers have gone down, and I don't know if that's because of it. It's looking up. I think people are looking at Mormons as less judgmental, because I think we are becoming less judgmental and less fitting into that stigma. So that's just my opinion. I don't know.
excuse me, Richie. I'd ask you a question. Actually, did you see the Rock Center edition on Mormons?
I did.
Yeah, so we talked all about that.
Guys,
yeah.
Oh, I've got to look up the podcast, and yeah. I've got to see that.
Yes, you do.
So you heard what Abby Huntsman said about the temple, right? Yes. Hoping someday non-members could go in. You know, that way the church is never going to change its doctrine like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the prophecy is being fulfilled. It's coming out of obscurity and out of darkness. In my mission, we had the Mormon.org campaign.
Which mission was it again?
In Seattle.
Seattle.
And okay. So I served in downtown Bellevue, which is like Microsoft headquarters right there. And buses
going by. It's a sign, by the way, when you're from iPhone headquarters and you serve in Microsoft headquarters.
Maybe I'm studying the wrong thing. Or maybe I could just be a businessman.
Could we make it any more clear to you?
Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
But it was just amazing, the TV ads, and people don't know. They have questions. People want to know. And when their questions are answered, a lot of them want to join the church. So I think we're going to see amazing growth. I think we're going to see a lot of opposition, too, like we have been.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I totally love the I'm a Mormon campaign. When I told people in the South, I'm a Mormon, they'd be like, oh, like a, is that like a vegetarian?
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
kind of?
Kind of, but not at all, ever. No, actually, no. And so I would tell people, you know, people know I'm a senior. Oh, you're going to BYU. Oh, you're going off to college. Oh, yeah, I'm going to BYU. Oh, you know, where's that? People don't know what BYU is from where I'm from. So I had a lot of opportunities to tell people that I was a Mormon, mm-hmm. which led to conversations. So to me, the I'm a Mormon campaign has been awesome, because a lot of people, when they find out you're a Mormon in the Bible Belt, they automatically shut down. There's a lot of people who, their kids aren't going to play with you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to talk to you.
Did you experience
they can't
that?
Be your neighbor. Oh, as a child, mm-hmm. I moved to a new neighborhood, and I became good friends with these little girls across the street who were Baptist. And as soon as their parents found out that we were Mormons, they couldn't come over to play anymore. Hmm. And I couldn't figure it out because I was like 11. And
like, if I take my CTR ring off, can we
yeah,
play?
Yeah, like I was like, I mean, and I never talked about it. So my mom tried to explain it to me, and I was like, but I believe in Jesus and she believes in Jesus, so I don't understand what's wrong here. So the I'm a Mormon campaign for the South has been awesome, because people look at Mormons and they say, weird, devil-worshipping people. But then they see these commercials and they're like, oh, you know, maybe they drive cars and they use electricity. Yeah. And, oh, look, they paint. Yeah. And, like, things like that. And it's like...
Skateboard. That's my favorite
one. It's been awesome for me. So that's been really helpful. I drove up to Atlanta, which is about 4.5 hours from my house. And
wow, you are the deep, dirty South.
Deep, dirty South. And I saw an I'm a Mormon billboard in the heart of Atlanta, so 4+ million people, and Mormons are being represented, and I was just so thrilled.
She rolled down the window.
I
She's
was
like,
so thrilled. Yeah, I was like, that's
I'm
me!
One of those.
That's me!
So, are you going to go back to Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game? BYU-Georgia Tech?
Okay, so... Oh,
you should do that. No, that'd be great!
Mom, Dad...
Go represent!
More than anything in the world, please send me home. I would die to do that.
That would
I'm
be
so
much fun.
I'm a huge Tech fan, though, so...
Okay. Oh, okay.
Which is the what, Rob?
The Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, props. Yeah. Very nice.
They also stole our name. We used to be the Utah Buzz.
Oh, gosh.
Because of the Yellow Jackets, that's their nickname.
Uh-huh.
And so they sued.
Said we couldn't do it anymore?
Yeah. So now we're the Utah Bees.
And Rob apparently has a huge grudge about that.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Apparently.
It's stupid.
There will be one team that is called the Buzz, and it is the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech, pal.
Right.
Anyway. Learn your place. Okay, future of the church. Go.
Okay, Levi. So I've been more fascinated in seeing kind of the way members of the church are moving and in the directions they're moving. I love Joanna Brooks. And a lot of
guests here on the Cultural Hall, you can listen to her episode. Yeah. Please do so.
A lot of things she stands for, and a lot of things she's talked about in the media. Most recently, I really liked her interview that she had on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and she talked about how we're a younger church, and that we're kind of moving and changing, kind of like the Jews have done over a longer period of time. We're just doing it quicker as a Mormon church.
Because we do everything a little quicker.
That's right. And I think part of it, too, you see the church, I don't know if it's on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis, doing these articles that clarify doctrine that's being released by the church newsroom. And it's you see the church pushing to kind of almost iron out these creases that have come up due to culture or due to, you know, whatever influences, to help the members of the church move away from just traditions to really understanding what the doctrine of Christ is, loving everybody, things like that. You saw in the early 90s almost a purge of feminists, especially here at BYU. Joanna Brooks talks about that. And now you have how that's kind of okay. And you don't have people like Joanna Brooks being
stifled.
Yeah, stigmatized, things like that by the church. Here in Provo, I'm a member of Provo Feminists. And we meet every
Monday.
Wait a minute,
you're a dude.
I know, whoa. But it's about, you know, it's not just for...
It's about accepting women as feminists, right?
That's right, yeah. And we meet every Monday and have Feminist Family Home Evening and talk
what
about...
What kind of family is that if it's all women? You gotta have a man.
He's the patriarch.
You gotta have a man for Family Home Evening.
And we talk about stuff, and that's where I see the church going. I see the church kind of reaching out and helping to include people who maybe wouldn't normally be included, and I would really like to see that to continue and to kind of branch out into other avenues.
Cool. There's one question, well, three questions that we ask everyone that comes into the Cultural Hall, so let's real quick do it. Do you have a calling right now, Levi?
No.
What would be your dream calling?
Sunday school teacher. I've had it before. It's fun.
It's what, best.
Just... any particular topic, any of the books, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just Sunday school.
Temple prep's cool.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, do I have
do
a calling?
Have a calling right now?
My bishop's been calling me for a few days, so I need, I'm getting a calling within the next 2 days.
Uh-oh.
What would be the calling that you could pick for yourself? You can invent one, too, if you...
Society president?
Floral arrangement creator. I want to decorate my ward building.
There
you go. Pretty drab.
Had that calling.
Or like bulletin board coordinator, maybe?
It was for her.
Oh,
I don't know if it really is.
That.
What about you? Calling?
I do.
What is it?
Eldest Quorum Secretary.
And if you could pick a calling?
You know, one that I had freshman year that I really loved. I was in charge of gathering the hymn books after church. I think I would do that again.
Nice.
I love kids in the least creepy way possible.
Right.
So probably...
You're a woman. You're okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's dudes if we say we love
kids. I don't want to be in a nursery.
Probably like primary or nursery. I don't
okay.
know. Yeah.
Her calling would be spirit of the place when you decorate. That's what that is.
Okay.
Spirit
okay.
of the place.
I'll talk to my bishop about that.
Yeah, I do.
Be like, I know you have some ideas, but I have some ideas.
I'll tell you what I've been thinking about. I know it's inspired, but inspire this for a second. Favorite part of your faith?
I've thought about this, because I knew you were going to ask me this. My favorite part of my faith is the spirit that comes with the music that the church puts out. I absolutely love church music, because 4 out of the 5 spiritual experiences that I remember and can pinpoint have come through music. And it's seriously the most incredible thing ever. So,
cool.
Music.
I think my favorite part of my faith is just that feeling when you know you've done something wrong and you repent for it and it goes away. I mean, that's the doctrine of Christ, just being free and feeling comfortable in your own skin.
I'm glad you had that second part of it, because when you're like, that feeling you get when you do something wrong, I'm like, where is this
going?
Yeah,
I was like, wait.
I should have said that the other way.
It's that warm feeling when you do something wrong.
Mine is eternal families. I have a lot of adopted family from all over the world. And for me to know that I'm eternally sealed to them, but also that their birth parents play a role in our eternal family is super awesome to me. And so to know that someday we'll all be a big family together is really cool.
Cool.
I think for me it's the connection to the pioneer history and the strong connection the church advocates for you to have with your ancestors.
All right, well, we hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And if you're sick or afflicted, that you'll be able to come next week.
And please bless
the sugar out of this crap we're about to eat.
Exactly. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.